Star and Shadow Radio, keep it locked.
This is The Rocking Show. I'm Gilly Kleiman.
And I'm Hannah Buckley.
And we'll always have that pause there, forever and ever. And we can enjoy that. So this is a show about the physical action of rocking. So it's a programme about the action of shaking, swaying, or moving back and forth. This is an experiment in using a radio show to work on a project that's actually for and in relationship to another form, a choreography. That's because we're both choreographers and we are starting to work towards a dance performance that will centre the action of rocking in different ways. So this show is a way for us to develop and advance our ideas, and it has been already. And it's a way to get other people involved in the process too, and to have other people listen in. This is, we think it's a four-part series. This is episode 3. So in the first episode, we did like background stuff, introduced some ideas around rocking. And then last week, we each recorded a kind of rocking practice that could guide the listener in different ways into some rocking. And now this time we've both done those practices and we're going to have a chat about what it was like. Yeah, that's right, isn't it, Hannah?
Yeah, we're going to chat about experiencing each other's rocking sequence.
Yeah. What was like the first thing you noticed?
Well, I wrote down voice change, energy change.
Voice change, energy change.
Yeah, like I was thinking about how, I mean, it's because we're guiding people, obviously, but both our voices change. And
during?
Like it was interesting to hear that recording in the context of our radio show because we were kind of in a different place. But also for me, because your rocking sequence started standing up and most of my rocking I do lying down. So I was a bit shocked by the standing up element. It's like, hold on a minute. Can I rock like this? But it also felt like things happened naturally as you spoke them. So sometimes things were already happening in my body and then you said the thing that I was doing, but obviously that came, I was already doing what you were doing, so yeah. It was like it like naturally transitioned into what you said.
That's so interesting, because I did mine again. So today I did, like, I basically listened to the whole show and I started just moving around while we did the intro talking and the dog was like, what is she doing? What's going on? And he tried to join in for a while and then realized that it had nothing to do with him. And then I started to do my own practice and I sort of remembered vaguely what I did, but not exactly. And then there was this funny thing with memory where it was like, do I remember saying this or doing this, or am I... like, am I responding now? But I also had that thing of like, I found that like my feet had come closer together, and then on the in the recording I say maybe my feet can come closer together. It was like and that happened multiple times.
I wrote some, there was like a sideways swing thing which I naturally started doing, and then you kind of talked about it, and then there's one point where, and again, that maybe it's a position that you guided us into what naturally led to this, but I had my hands in my hair and then you were talking about your hands in your hair. So it was like that position kind of, or you said something about at one point looking under the arm and that started to make my rock more circular, and then you were like, oh, my rock's getting more circular. So I guess like, it feels like I was kind of predicting what you were doing, but actually it's kind of natural progression of what you'd already led us through.
If the conditions are the same, then it produces something similar result.
But it felt like I was kind of predicting what you were doing or something.
It's quite exciting, that.
Yeah, like ooh, my God, yeah. I'm doing that rock. but I wrote down as like I felt as if I was a sketch of what you were doing.
A sketch.
Yeah, like, well, and that didn't, I don't mean that in like it didn't feel full. I mean, it just felt like you were describing something and I was the marks of it, if that makes sense, or the like outline of it or something. I think.
Do you mean like, you know, when you play that game and so, or like this used to happen in like bad, you know, like generation game, like 90s TV shows,
mm-hmm.
where like someone would have to describe how to draw something and then the other one would draw it.
Yeah, I think maybe it's more like that because I was like physicalizing what
something verbal.
Yeah. But I actually really enjoyed having just an audio description of movement. And I think we actually like really underestimate the usefulness of that. There's like this like what's the word, like importance given to seeing movement,
mm-hmm,
but actually that can be really distracting and you don't get chance to like find your way through something. So I really enjoyed listening to something rather than and moving to listening rather than seeing something.
It makes me think about Skinner releasing technique,
mm-hmm.
Where I don't know if this is a rule or not, but I think the idea is that the teacher doesn't really dance, but they offer a lot of, they offer like physical input in the form of these partner graphics, where you like touch each other or move around each other in a particular way to like input into your awareness of your body or your decision-making capacity about your dancing. But also there's loads of like verbal, very poetic.
Yeah, well, Deborah Hay, so for the non-dance readers, listeners, Deborah Hay's American choreographer, and she also talks about that, like, don't do what I'm doing. What interests you. And I kind of think about that often with my students, like, maybe I won't move even though I want to because actually you can't undo it.
They start to think that good dancing is a particular kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's whatever the teacher's doing.
Yeah. And they should be doing that rather than what their body does. So yeah, it was good to have I enjoyed just having the audio element.
It made me think as I was doing it, I was like, I mean, this is really definitely future thinking for future choreography, but I guess that's part of what this show is like. I was curious about what if we did a performance which was just us listening to the whole show, it was 53 minutes the show, so including the intro, the outro and the two pieces of music and the two rocking practices, but not rehearsed, not decided before. But I would be super curious to see two people at the same time following the same score, like the same input, but
it's different bodies,
a different expression of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely imagined it as a performative thing, doing the score whilst the audio was playing. It felt like that could definitely translate to a performative context or seeing it as a performance. Did you have any funny moments?
There were funny moments because of my little rescue dog trying to join in quite a lot at the beginning, and he was like, what is this, my game now, is this what we're doing? And I was like, no, you, and then he just watched me. So that was quite funny. But also, so I was doing the rocking. I mean, it's all rocking. I was doing the rocking that you were guiding us, the one where you like roll along the length of your spine with your knees bent. So I was doing that, and like I don't curl up into a ball very well because I have a fat on the front of my body. That means that I don't fold in the in the way that someone who doesn't have much of a belly might. So like I was experimenting with different shapes when I landed. And each time I would sort of, my limbs and my upper body would each find a different shape. And I was really enjoying like the kind of different, it was funny because like, obviously if you bend one leg and straighten one leg, then when you go back into the rebound, like going back over again, the like propulsion isn't in one line.
Because, yeah, isn't kind of balanced.
Yeah, because so then you end up changing position, and I almost whacked my head off the little table of plants that I've got because I'm just doing it in my living room. But actually, the sort of weirdest moment was, so I was doing your that part. I mean, I loved the pace of your of your part. Because really there were what, like four rocks that we just get to really like enjoy in lots of different ways. And the order of them felt so, like the order had signification. Like if you'd done them in a different order, you would have ended up in a different state at the end.
If
you'd started lying down, if you'd done them in reverse order or whatever, you might leave with like a different kind of energy completely. Yeah, and I was doing the sideways, like lying on your side one, and I couldn't get it. I felt like a weird kid, and I was like, I've got it. Oh no, I haven't got it. I've got it. No, I've lost it. What?
Yeah, I found that one quite hard to describe. Or I was like, wait, will this translate very well to, will people be like, what?
But I sort of also like the whatness of it.
Yeah,
like I sort
yeah.
of had to like figure out, wait, is this rocking? What is a rocking?
Yeah, what? Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, is this a rock? I don't.
But I mean, who knows?
it
felt like that was a funny thing. There was a feeling that was the feeling of rocking. And there's a feeling of doing it that isn't rocking, that feels like something else.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, because when I feel rocking, like it, I feel like I'm rocking.
Yeah, but I was doing the same like organization of limbs
action.
And action. Mm. Yeah, yeah. But sometimes it felt like rocking, and sometimes it felt like shuffling or scrubbing or
I wonder where like what tips it into a rock.
It was like I couldn't catch the rocking groove every time, and then I would get it, and then I would like lose concentration or something. But then at the end, when I lay on my front and was doing your favorite rock, the pelvis side to side rock, I fell asleep at the end.
Yeah, I could just do that all day, really. Like lie down and just rock my pelvis.
I actually fell asleep.
Like a massage for your thigh muscles as well. Just it, like, I don't know. Very good.
See, because the listener, Hannah is rocking at present.
I'm rocking my head to symbolize my rocking pelvis. Because I really, about yours, when I listened to yours, I was like, oh, I wish I'd been more descriptive. Because yours felt really descriptive and rich in that. Because I think the slight difference was you did yours, just did it as you were doing it.
Yeah.
I kind of pre-planned it. I talked through it as I was doing it, but I'd already decided the order of it. So I really enjoyed how yours kind of emerged.
I just improvised and talked about it.
Yeah, and that, I was like, oh yeah, that's really,
but I think they produce slightly different things because I what's interesting is that I didn't really have control. Like I didn't know where I was going with my rocking. And I was timing myself, or like when I was recording myself, I was aware of the time. And I was like, oh, I've got to do 15 minutes. That's ages. And then I suddenly like sat for like a little pause and I looked at the phone and it was like 18 minutes. And I was like, I guess I'll stop. So I didn't have so much like, Yeah, like yours had this dramaturgy of like vertical spine to vertical horizontal spine, and then the orientation mattered from like being face to the world, face to the side, face to the floor. Like that for me has a massive effect on my body, like those things of sort of the preparation for lying on your front is, because to lie on your front requires a sense of security, doesn't it? Like it's like you're not using any of your senses anymore. You get to sort of shut off a bit.
Yeah, I think that's why that rock is so relaxing in a way, because you're kind of going inwards and you put your head down and just the movement kind of, I guess it's that thing we're saying about like rocking a baby, it's like a lullaby. That position, it's, you put your head down, it's can make it kind of darker and just rock your pelvis. And it actually is interesting because when I put that rock, when I was doing a bit of promo and I put it on Instagram, somebody commented, replied to it saying that's how they got rocked them, that's how they went to sleep.
Right. Did they rock in order to go to sleep.
Yeah, that specific pelvic rock.
Oh, right.
Which actually I realized my boyfriend does that sometimes to go to sleep. I hadn't thought about that. I was like, oh yeah, Dave does that.
Really?
Yeah. Not always, but sometimes.
When you said the lying down rock, I always thought that the rock you were talking about was this rock where you lie flat on your back with
from your heels.
Yeah. So you point and flex your toes in order to, and I really love that rock as well, because what
it's a good rock,
the traction on the skin. You get this sort of funny, if you're not wearing really slippy clothes, you sort of get your skin sort of feels like it slightly separates from the like next layer of tissue. And for me, I don't know, I think that must be like stimulating of the fascia or something good. Like something good comes of that.
Yeah, it is. Well, do you know what? Recently when I did that yoga class where she'd brought rocking into it, she did that rock, but the other way around. So you're on your front and it's the same. Yeah, it was the same action, like pushing and pulling, but on your front. And I was like, oh, this is interesting, because it's the same action, but very kind of different experience doing it
face down.
Yeah.
I might try that later, face down. There was another thing, when you were talking about language just there, it made me think about, like, as I was recording mine, and then again when I was like listening and doing it, doing both of ours, I thought a lot about like which language is, which language feels familiar to my dance person ear. Like things like have your legs long.
Yeah.
Legs long. That, of course, I think that anyone could understand that. But could everyone understand that? Have your legs long. It's like it's a metaphor.
I was conscious of, because you know, this potentially is being listened to by non-dance people, about what, how do you describe something to be understood when someone can't see you. You know, like I was saying, it was good to but then actually, like, so I was conscious about that when I was planning it and talking through it, but then when you're doing it, actually, it doesn't, I don't think it matters so much in a way, like,
yeah,
because you just go, find your own way of doing it. Yeah, so
yeah, but I mean, in a way, that's like, I can imagine now, maybe this is also like useful for like a socially distanced dance class era. Like if someone says to you have your legs long and you don't know what that is, normally in a class, even if the instruction had been to like close your eyes, just see what happens, if you don't understand anything, just go with it, whatever, then you would still, like, you know, like, achily put your head up and like peer around.
Yeah.
Even if you're trying to be really subtle, because I'm 36 and I, you know, I've been in 1,000 dance classes and I don't want to look like a moron, I would still be like, oh, okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Sneak a peek of long legs.
Always, always sneaking peeks. I mean, also because I love watching people dance. So a lot of times in a dance class, I'm just delighted to watch other people dance.
Other people.
I mean, not that I go to so many dance classes.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to think of, like, you know, everyone's doing these Zoom classes, but maybe we don't need to do, you know, Zoom classes that you can see. Maybe they could just be out.
Yeah, I don't think they do, like, especially with some things that are more kind of experiential or experimental, like, not about form. Like, yeah. It doesn't really matter how you rock, really, does it? Like, it doesn't, you can't really do it right or wrong. It's like giving this description and then people can understand that and organize that in their own body.
But I think it is somehow about form too, like.
Yeah, no, as I said, that was like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
it does change. It does change how you rock.
Yeah.
What form you're in.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like a useful thing to like know about and be interested in as well.
But guess I mean not, still different than like.
Everyone organized their limbs exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, it's different to that.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the, that's what I mean. It's like, here's the basic sketch.
Yeah.
Then you put your body in it.
Yeah.
Gives more space maybe.
There's also just like a kind of general privileging of the ocular in a dance studio environment, often because there's a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that
exactly.
Means that
can't
even
escape it.
Even if you close the curtains over the mirror, or you do most of the things not directly facing the mirror or whatever, there's still
this, aware,
like, presence of the mirror. Like, I never use mirrors in the stuff that I do, but last year when I was teaching in a university, I would walk into the studio for my class and the mirror, the curtains would be open and the students would be watching themselves, and then 10 minutes later they'd be doing the thing that I'd asked them to do. And of course that experience of having just looked at themselves influences their attention like for the next hour and a half, even if, you know,
the whole thing is visible. Close the curtains first thing, close the curtains.
Yeah, it became like a weird competition between me and the students of like who could get in there first to have like the
time with the mirror or the closed curtains.
Like, it's like, no, I think it's unwise to have the mirror, to like stare at yourself and your whole body just before like you're being invited into a space where I'm interested in offering something more experiential, where you get to feel your own body in movement and think about what that is.
Maybe playing radio shows about rocking is the way forward.
I mean, I feel like we've made like a dance class for someone. Could just go off. Did you the music that we played, did you carry on rocking, or what did you
I did carry on rocking. Well, I think the last song I've made some notes in it, but actually that Alea makes me want to rock.
Yeah.
It's just like, you can't help it.
I love that. I love that.
So yeah, both of them. I think I've rocked through both. I had a funny moment where my dad interrupted me. They did it twice, actually.
Because
I was at my, so I should maybe just give some context for the listeners. I support my dad quite a lot, and I stay at his house in the week a few days, so I was at his house, and he knew I was doing the radio show. I told him like at 8 o'clock I have to do this thing, so I was like, just got into it, and then he like opens the door and I've got my headphones in, and he's like, oh, I was just wondering where you were. I was like, yeah I'm just like rocking. And then he went out, and then a bit later he came in to ask me if he could have the last packet of crisps. I was like, yeah, yeah. Like, but it was kind of irritating, but also I kind of liked it because it felt like this interruption of like I was in this ritual of rocking or something, and then the real world kind of cut into it. And I'm like stood there kind of still trying to keep the rock going.
Feeling yourself.
Like, you can have the last packet of crisps.
I think we should think in the performance how we can interrupt that too. There's something that feels like such important feels like important choreographic information.
Yeah, it was like jarring and funny at the same time, and kind of like just that thing of, like I say, cutting in and being like, oh yeah, real life's still there. I can try and rock it away all I want, but it's gonna come and ask me about crisps.
Did you feel any sense of the mesmeric?
Yeah, and I think that's why I was a bit annoyed with my dad, because I was like, I'm trying to get into a state here. Stop, like.
To get into a state.
I'm trying to, transcend, go away.
What are you doing, Hannah? Oh, I'm transcending.
Just rocking to transcend. I did feel that. I mean, always feel that with rocking, I think, in some ways.
A couple of people rang me. I was using I'm using a borrowed computer and it doesn't have very good speaker. So my phone speaker is much better. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to it on my phone, which meant that I couldn't have my phone on airplane mode.
Right, yeah.
So a couple of people rang me during the rocking. But it feels like I just sort of carried on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's easy to slip into it, I think. Or like also maintain, that's something I could kind of still have this motion in my body where whilst talking, if you know what I mean, it's easy to. And I think again, that comes back to like something that happens quite naturally. Like often, sometimes you'll find yourself doing it if you're having a conversation, you know, like moving your weight from foot to foot, or kind of micro versions of it anyway.
God, I'm really feeling like I want to be in the studio now with this stuff.
Yeah.
Like the moment when I really had that thought was when I was doing mine. Mm-hmm. And so I was standing on my feet and mm-hmm. I think it's rocking from foot to foot and I'm sort of pivoting.
Mm-hmm.
And I let my arms go and my arms sort of came up in this kind of sort of cactus shape.
Mm-hmm.
My upper arms sticking out directly sideways, and then my lower arms going upwards. And then in my head I thought, oh, this feels like a kind of folk dance. And the recording, I say something like, oh, it feels like a folk dance. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's something. Like I started to feel the references that we talked about
in
the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of, in your one particularly, this like sense of like the nervous system being able to be controlled somehow, or like being like the experience of one's own like states of energy and relaxation being able to be like they can be changed by choosing whether you're going to do like a really vigorous rock
forward
and back, or whether you're gonna like just really subtly move your head or whatever like that. I started to really experience it on a really like you know, we read about it, but on a really concrete level, like, oh, I was doing this before and I felt like this, and now I'm doing this and I feel like this, and it's so rapid. I found it so rapid.
Yeah, it is rapid, because you don't have to rock for long. and suddenly you feel different.
I found it just really effective.
I think I kind of had that feeling when my sister, twin sister, has a one-year-old child, and she sent me a video which I shared with Gilly, and I feel like I felt that. So my little niece is like dancing a little bit. She just started walking, and then she starts crawling. And she's just got this toy that's like a record player. And then all of a sudden, she's on all fours. She just starts kind of rocking her body as part of her dance moves.
Sort of circular way.
Yeah, in like a circular kind of rock. And it's just so natural and innate.
Yeah.
Kind of, it looked so natural and innate, but it was really, yeah, reminded me of that it's just there from the beginning. You don't have to learn it.
No.
It's just a natural way of moving.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, the thing is there are things like this that I know, you know, if I did them once a week, or if I said, you're going to rock for an hour, Gilly, I'd feel great. But how do you organize your life to do that? That's why I need to make all of the things I'm interested in into artistic
projects. Yeah, I mean, every time I rock, well, so maybe I'm doing it slightly more regularly now, but previously I didn't do it regularly, but every time I rocked, I was like, would have some kind of realization or like move something negative, or, you know, like change state and be like, oh God, yeah, there's rocking works. Why do I forget about rocking? Why don't I do rocking every day? But yeah, I mean, I guess that's just a bigger question of like,
it's the same as meditation every day.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But every time I did it, I thought, it works. Like, it's useful. Why do I not do this more? Don't forget about rocking. And then I would go ages and then have a rock and be like, oh, you forgot about rocking.
Only do it when you've told someone else you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like the commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
Important.
Yeah, but yeah, I feel that too.
Oh, I am. This is what I did. In the track that was in the middle of the show, so between the two guided practices,
yeah,
I found myself just lying on the floor and like singing along, and I was just, I think because I felt so relaxed, it was like, it felt so chill and fun to do that.
Sing along song.
It is quite a sing along song anyway. Yeah, it's like a karaoke song, isn't it? Yeah, that felt very much part of it for me. It's funny seeing you rock on your chair.
Oh yeah,
Hannah's in an office chair rocking side.
Yeah, it's like a turny one.
Go all the way around.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, is there any more things that you thought or felt? Or
no, just that I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
I am tempted to suggest that we play that Aaliyah track again now to finish off the show.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, so this is a slowed down
version
of Aaliyah's Rock the Boat. But before we go, go on.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, so if you didn't listen to episode 2 and you'd like to do our rocking sequences, please do. You can listen again through the listen again links, weirdly. But we would love, absolutely love if some people, lovely listeners, could have a listen, do the rocking sequence, and then let us know what you thought or felt or experienced. And you can do that by sending us either a written response or audio, or if you would rather draw a picture or whatever, however you want to document or share that experience. But we would like to share those on the radio, so maybe bear that in mind. If you could send them to me at BuckleyHello, which is BuckleyHello, all lowercase, at gmail.com. So that's BuckleyHello@gmail.com. And we would really appreciate some, yeah, thoughts, feelings, whatever experiences, ideas that popped up into your head, feelings that you felt whilst doing our rocking sequences, which are in episode 2.
Yeah.
So episode 2 for that.
And we'll include them in the next and final show.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 4.
So drop us a line if you can. We'd really appreciate it.
That'd be fascinating.
It would. It would. Especially if maybe you don't have a physical practice, or
you've never rocked in your life.
You've never rocked.
It's impossible.
Moving's not your thing. We'd love you to do it.
Yeah. If you always just sit still.
We'd love it. Yeah. All right. So shall we leave them with Aaliyah?
Aaliyah, forever and always. Let's do it.
Oh,
Star and Shadow Radio, keep it locked.